Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the August 9th general meeting. It is 7 p.m. and we'll call it to order. Madam Clerk, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Buckeye?
Here.
Councilmember Clark?
Here.
Vice Mayor Van der Zanden?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Mayor Cannamore?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
Okay, thank you. There are 6 members present and a quorum exists.
Thank you. Before the reading of our vision statement, I would like to read a letter of recognition for our treasurer, Phoebe. And this is her last general meeting. So the letter reads, "This letter of recognition and certificate of recognition expresses appreciation for your dedication and outstanding performance as the city's treasurer for the period August 15th, 2017 through August 15th, 2021. Your incredible work ethic and professionalism over the 4-year period has not gone unnoticed by your friends and neighbors, city council, and staff. In addition to the myriad of duties as treasurer, the contributions to the city's operations have improved all aspects of the services provided to the community. The execution of your assignments exemplifies the can-do approach you take to every challenge. As an example of your invaluable contributions over your time as treasurer, the following list is inadequate to cover the quantity and importance of your work. Integral in the development of both the general and capital improvement budget, superior monthly, quarterly, and annual reports, maintenance of financial records for grants and contracts, maintenance of the AMLIP accounts, reconciliation of financial accounts, as chief purchasing officer, issues purchase orders, reconciles with invoices and making payments, grants manager for several CARES Act projects. In addition to the technical duties, you have also been instrumental in the development of projects outside your primary functions. For example, assisting council members and staff in the development of directives that improved the delivery of information for a plethora of reports, communications, and discussions. Resolving IT problems for departments has saved time, effort, and the sanity of your coworkers. You have also provided invaluable input to me, council members, the city administrator, and other staff that has improved work product and the development of concepts and approaches to many difficult responses and problem resolutions. The one-on-one meetings with anyone that needed explanation of items within the vast orbit of your duties has been invaluable in the city's in the understanding of the city's finances. And the word around the water cooler is that you're one hell of a coworker. I wanted to take the opportunity to express our appreciation for your dedication and involvement to our town. On behalf of a grateful city council, staff, and community, thank you, Phoebe. We appreciate you a ton." And there's a certificate of recognition that's also projected. Okay. And Councilmember Buckeye, will you please read our vision statement?
Certainly, Mayor. Thank you. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively, while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you. Before moving on with the meeting, as a reminder for the general public, please mute your phones and keep your video turned off to ensure that connection is running smoothly. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded and is posted to the city website. I'm sharing my screen, which projects the packet, and you can also find it available online at cms.gustavus-ak.gov. Next on the agenda is the approval of our July 19th, 2021 general meeting minutes. And I will go ahead and entertain a motion.
Madam Mayor, Councilmember Taylor moves to approve the July 19, 2021 general meeting minutes and asks for unanimous consent.
I'll second that.
It has been moved by Councilmember Taylor and seconded by Vice Mayor Vander Zanden to approve by unanimous consent the July 19th, 2021 general meeting minutes. These minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to make comment on the minutes or corrections? If so, please raise your hand and I will call on you.
How did they raise their hands?
Okay, seeing no comment from the public, do any council members wish to make corrections or additions to the minutes? Seeing no additions or corrections from the council, are there any objections to passing the July 19th, 2021 general meeting minutes by unanimous consent? Seeing no objections, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. Next on the agenda is a mayor's request for agenda changes. I do not have any. Are there any requests from the council for agenda changes? Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Seeing no objections from the council, the agenda is set by unanimous consent. Up next are our committee and staff reports. And first up is the GVA with their year-end expense and progress report. Hopefully council members had a chance to look over this today. And Leah is on with the GVA. So Leah, if you would like to say anything about this, you can go ahead now. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Before I begin, I just would like to echo the letter of recognition to Phoebe and just say that we hugely appreciate everything you've done and you'll be greatly missed. Thank you. So on to our year-end and progress report. Maybe you have this in front of you, I'm not sure, but I can see it there. So the bottom line is this summer was extremely busy. Everybody who opened and operated was very busy, and it was a good season. So I can tell you that Glacier Bay Sea Kayaks was 30% ahead of ourselves and business from our 2019. And what I can see across the board from the other businesses that opened, they were also very busy and full. But what I can also say as far as the businesses, as far as the economy, is that the even though we had a very busy season, economy-wise, we are still in the red. We didn't earn any money last season, and startup costs for the majority of people were higher than average at the beginning of season. So because many people were starting their business this season with equipment that had sat unused last season, and when equipment is unused, things seize up, things break. So they had to buy parts, they had to buy new equipment, they had to pay labor and time costs to repair things, and of which labor was in short supply this year. Many people were operating on a skeleton crew. So even though everybody had a busy season, economy-wise, we have not regained from our losses and our catch-up and the expenses of our opening. I think that could be echoed across the board as far as all tourism businesses. But we were really busy. And what we saw, a lot of people were Alaskans and Americans. So as far as our marketing opportunity, our marketing focus on the onset just prior to the season was targeted at independent travelers, because we could see right off the bat, of course, there was not going to be any cruise ships, and Gustavus is in a prime location for independent travelers. So we targeted that in our marketing, and we can see on our Google Analytics that we doubled our clicks in people who want to come to Gustavus and who want to come to wide open spaces where there are very few people, which is Alaska. And Alaska, as we all know, was the vacation destination vaccination of the nation. It was a place that everybody wanted to come to this year, and it certainly proved so. So we are marketing moving forward. So we did very well, and our clicks were very good, and we need to continue that. So all of our marketing efforts moving forwards is how can we, now that we have this momentum going with American travelers and Alaskan travelers traveling within the nation, how can we keep this going? And how do we target this audience while also extending to our, non-American travelers who are going to want to also start coming here hopefully next season. So everything is looking good, and our focus is going to be on all websites, links, getting every business in Gustavus on board with the same messaging, the same the same language, so that when somebody puts into a search engine, wild place, Alaska, whatever it is they put in their search engine, that, because if everybody has the same common language and the same branding, it's going to come up with come to Gustavus. Things we need to focus on as well here in Gustavus is accommodations, affordable accommodations particularly, and food. We could see that was two aspects that we struggle with here in Gustavus. But things are looking good. Marketing looks good. I'm open for questions if anybody has them. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Are there any clarifying questions for Leah from the council? Okay, it doesn't look like it. Thank you very much for this report, Leah. Glad to hear things are looking up.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition Quarterly Report. Kelly, if you are on the line and you'd like to speak to this, you can do so. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Let's see. So I'll just run through the bullet points quickly. Thank you all for hearing our report, and thank you to the council for continuing to be involved with GPAC's efforts. GPAC met with, since the last quarter, GPAC met with the FAA, DOT, Dragon Corp, who's a consulting firm that had some expertise in construction and PFAS. The meeting was facilitated by Earth Justice, and it was put on in order to further discuss airport construction, and this was just after ground had been broken, so maybe a couple weeks after ground had been broken. And there were concerns over whether or not NEPA was being followed. So that's what we addressed with them after the city DOT, the city hosted a meeting with DOT as well. GPAC also has had weekly meetings with DOT since then as an outcome of that meeting to just maintain up-to-date info on the airport project. We've continued to express concerns that were expressed both in the meeting that the city hosted and in the meeting that Earth Justice hosted. And really, we have seen very little from DOT in the way of a response to those concerns. And our primary concerns are the contaminated surface materials, asphalt and soils, that are being reused. So they're being milled up and all kinds of new surface area exposed, and then they're being put back into the ground. And DOT's concession there was that they would only put it back into the ground in other contaminated areas. We still feel like there's a huge potential for more contamination after all that disruption. GPAC contributed significant feedback, thanks to Whitney, and direction to Shannon and Wilson regarding their proposed site characterization plan. And that is due to take place this September. So I think Whitney gave them a whole lot of good data, and that will be really informative what they come up with. We probably won't see any information out of that till October or later. But I think it'll give us a good idea of what was disturbed in the airport project, or the beginnings of that idea, as well as just the regular plume and how it's spreading, changing or not. We continued communication with DOT, FAA, Dragon Corp, Earth Justice, and there was a few other letters sent on GPAC's behalf to DOT and FAA regarding the NEPA project, or the NEPA process. Right now, DOT FAA requested DOT to submit what they're calling supplemental information for their categorical exclusion. And that is currently sitting in FAA legal, as far as I know. And they were hoping to get an update on that. DOT was hoping to get an update on that by next week, I believe. GPAC advocated with the city of Gustavus for flux meter installation to gather data on potential efficacy of plume stop at the Gustavus Airport. I won't go into detail there. GPAC mailed reports compiled by McDowell, which was part of our endowment fund grant from 2019-2020. It was in lieu of a lot of the outreach funds that we had asked for to interface with other communities. We instead compiled this history of our progress, basically, and mailed that to other affected communities. GPAC participated in multiple media interviews, and we met with state reps in Gustavus to discuss PFAS and legislation introduced in the last session. and we're kind of halfway through with that legislation. So hopefully we'll be able to hit the ground running this coming February when the next session starts.
Thank you, Kelly. Do any council members have clarifying questions for the GPAC report? Okay, seeing no questions. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, next up is our DRC quarterly report. And I'll go ahead and project that here. So Paul, if you are on the line and you'd like to speak, go for it. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, I want to make sure I have good levels. Good evening, everyone. So each one of my quarterly reports kind of has a different flavor just because of its time of the year. And this one is always interesting for me because it's right after the end of the fiscal year. And although it kind of makes more sense in a lot of ways to kind of look at things in a calendar year format, I've just become fiscally oriented with my job at the DRC. So what's interesting about this report is, you know, it's a look back on the previous fiscal year. And it kind of, you know, when I heard in Leah's presentation that, you know, we're kind of back on track in some ways in terms of business and whatnot, I can say the waste stream is certainly back on track. We're not quite to the 2019 numbers, but we're certainly a lot more waste is flowing than it was last year. So I can say that the waste stream has recovered, even though the pandemic is still about us. I'm pleased that we have two new pool members with Ian Barrier and Mike Atkins. That was a real great end to very difficult and long June. It was really great to have them start up in the beginning of July and have two really good additions to the staff there. I'm really pleased with that, and that's allowing us to kind of get caught up because a lot of things got behind this spring. You've heard that while we are increased with the trash things, one of the things that I've noticed is that the amount, our diversion ratio, how much people recycle as opposed to how much they throw into the non-recyclable trash has continued to drop. And that's a concern for me. It is true that we do pull some recyclables out of the trash and recycle them, but you know, in terms of the number is shown is what people are actually separating when they come to the facility. And I'm really hoping to turn that trend around because the closer it gets to 50%, the more afraid I become. That's just kind of, that's an important benchmark for me is the, you know, where more is recycled than is landfill, but we're dropping. We're only 4 percentage points from that. So I'm hoping to turn that around. I'm really excited. I wrote in there about the training with the Zinder group would like to have at our facility here next spring, probably May-ish. This would be really cool. We did one of these trainings way back in 2001, where we had individuals come around from different parts of the state. We had Ed Emsweiler from DEC. You know, it was a great opportunity for me to kind of, you know, show the facility. At that time, we had just done food waste composting for 1 year. But it just kind of brought together a lot of people from villages and whatnot. And you know, it's just a great opportunity. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe we can expand it a little bit and maybe have a talk or something, you know, with some of the people from Zinder talking about our work in Alaska or, you know, more things about composting in Southeast Alaska. I also put in that thing with that pilot study that AE2 Engineering has put in. I'm very curious on that. I hope something comes about it. It's very intriguing, but you never know with these things. But, you know, I put it out there. And hopefully, you know, they will come through and we could have that, because that'd be great if we could turn the waste plastic and wood waste into usable decking and paving stones. I think that'd be pretty cool. I've got my usual thank yous in there for the community chest. Things seem to be going pretty well there in terms of a lot of sales and You know, I wish they measured the flow of materials as carefully as I do at the DRC, just so we could know how many shirts or pants or everything. I mean, it's amazing how much flows through there. Talked a little bit about the CSWA and solid waste management planning process, and kind of gave an update on the capital projects, because that's one thing that really came out of the experience for me in June, is I really want to, as kind of the tail end of my career, get the facility a new building and a new baler, and really devote a lot of my resources and time to doing that, because I'm kind of the person to do it. It's not something I would expect for someone who's just starting out to try to do that big of an improvement. So the kind of labor crisis and small building crisis is like, okay, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to really focus on, you know, coming up with a design for that building and starting that process, because I'm sure it'll take, you know, the rest of my career to get it to happen. But I've come up with some preliminary designs, and just I hope to have something for the next meeting as far as putting on an NCO for the budget for architectural services, to kind of get the planning process rolling and pull in some professional firms that work with transfer stations and other solid waste facilities, and kind of get that thing moving. So I hope you all have a chance to read the report and to go over the 5-year kind of rolling thing, you kind of see the numbers there, see how things are panning. It's, you know, very interesting to see. Glass is definitely, you know, reduced. I wish I measured plastic like that, because I think those numbers have gone up. But yeah, so please do it. And I also wanted to thank, this is the last meeting that my quarterly report with the mayor. And I wanted to thank you, Brittany, for serving as our mayor. And of course, I wanted to thank you, Phoebe. It's been a pleasure working with you for these 4 years, and I'm honored. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Any council questions for Paul's report for the DRC? Vice Mayor Vandersanden, go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, just a question to kind of keep things in order. You mentioned needing a new baler, which I realize. Do you need to go ahead with the three-phase project before you get a baler? And do you need a building to put it in before baler? Thanks.
Yes, those two are very important in their sequencing. None of them make sense without, I mean, you have to have both of them. We couldn't just plug a new baler into this building, because all the, I mean, any baler worth its while is going to be three-phase. And I really want the city to go with a horizontal baler, which takes a lot more operating area, not a lot more, but, you know, a third or more. So yes, it's the building comes first and then the baler, because they're very integral. And with, you could actually, in some ways, build the baler in if it's a large piece of equipment and how you install it and whatnot. And it doesn't mean you could never get it out of there, but, you know, how it sits would be a large factor in how the building is designed.
I had a couple questions, Paul. Thanks for this report. I really enjoyed reading it, especially about the pilot project. I'm excited to see what happens with that. Seems like a really cool way to keep things in-house. When you were in your report speaking about almost running out of bins at the end of June, would it be helpful if the city purchased more of those bins?
Yes, it would. And that's why I suggested with the funds remaining from the pre-processing storage area, or what I like to call the inflow storage area, because there's about $20,200 remaining from that, to use some of that money to purchase at least a dozen of the bins, because they're 1 cubic yard, they're universal, and they're just very easy, quick ways of storing things that we normally use, but also really help if you've got a labor shortage or equipment downtime, so you can keep, you know, bringing things in, keep sorting them, keep separating them and storing them. So yes, I would like that, in addition to some tenting, so I could have large cardboard cargo boxes in an outdoor environment without them degrading in the rain.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. And the other question I had regarding the diversion ratio, it was, thanks for laying out the various scenarios that may be leading to that low percentage. I was just trying to think of some things the city could do, maybe as far as outreach, just like educational outreach specific to sorting. So folks, because I know that that's an issue, and you guys don't always have time to go through and sort everybody's bags. Do you think that that would be helpful, just like putting some flyers around town or having some sort of like outreach educational day at the DRC where people can, I think that would be more work for you, but I'm just trying to kind of brainstorm how to make people more aware.
I think flyers would be good. I mean, that's kind of, I'm always apologizing for the tired flyers that I have because I only change the dates. I've basically been using the same flyers for over 10 years. It does. It needs a fresh approach. It needs pictures. It needs to tie it in with a community chest. It needs to kind of, you know, create a kind of an incentive for it that in addition to the pricing, but just kind of an awareness. Because, no, we want the separation to happen at the point of, you know, the bin, the source, not at our end when we're, because you can't pull food waste when it's all mixed in with other stuff. It just, it's a pretty poor way to do it. So yes, it really does need that. And, you know, I'm kind of, yeah, it's not necessarily one of my strengths, but it's certainly one of my desires to have a better informative thing that kind of could be distributed better to the community. I'm hoping to come up with some jingles awesome. Too, but I haven't got that far yet.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. Well, I can start to work on some flyers, and maybe I'll get together with you and get like the details, and we can come up with something good to put around town. Thanks. Any other council questions for Paul's report for the DRC? Okay, thanks, Paul. Okay, next is our city treasurer quarterly report and monthly financials.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for the very kind words. I really appreciate it, and definitely have mixed feelings about moving along from the city. I don't have much to add to my treasurer's report. Last fiscal year ended June 30th, and we're in good shape for that fiscal year, especially compared to how conservative and concerned we were about our fiscal picture going into that fiscal year last year in the start of the pandemic. There will still be some numbers changing around there as we finalize our roads expenses and what of those will be covered by FEMA or not. So there'll be updated reports coming out as those things materialize. But at this point, we're looking good. And I'll echo Leah's sentiment with this summer season being a busy one and more towards normal in terms of economic activity. Looking at our profit and loss through today, which is a little different than what's in the packet, since the allowable reporting period for the second quarter of the year was through August 2nd. So some returns came in after my monthly financials deadline. But we have over $21,000 in room tax received, which is over half of our budget, and $98,000 in retail tax received. So we'll have another good picture after the summer season ends when the tax returns that come in October. But it looks like been a good summer season. I really appreciate everyone's efforts to mitigate the COVID risks so that our businesses could reopen more fully. Otherwise, I just put updates in there for the CARES Act. We have a FEMA COVID-19 application in for under consideration. It's under state review at this point. And so that's been moving along. And everything else is just kind of flowing along. I don't really have anything else to highlight necessarily, but I'll take any questions for anybody if they have them. And otherwise, hopefully this is my last general meeting.
Thanks, Phoebe. Any council questions for Phoebe on this report? Okay, no questions for Phoebe. Thank you again. On to our final report for the evening from staff. This is for our city administrator. So Tom, oh, sorry. Leah, did you have something for Phoebe?
Hi, yes, thank you. Just to mention at the previous meeting, we were talking about budgets and the lack of bed tax coming from our usual year. I was again wondering if a portion of the GVA's budget could come from that FEMA grant. So I'm just putting a plug in for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Leah.
This is Tanya. I don't have a raise. I can't find my raise hand sign. I'm sorry. So I just wanted to butt in and say thank you as well to Phoebe. It was an honor to work with you this long, just for the last, 9 months or something that I've been on the council, and just really respect your work and super grateful for all you've done for the city in the last 4 years. Thank you.
Thanks, Tanya. Phoebe, did you want to speak to Leah's comment? I saw that you had unmuted.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The FEMA response is very, so we had over $600,000 of CARES fund received. And through this process with FEMA, we have determined that 9,000 of that 600,000 is eligible for reimbursement. So it's very restrictive. It's very emergency oriented. It doesn't do anything about economic harm or economic revitalization. It didn't cover any of our departments except for City Hall and Fire Hall. It's a few expenses that were related to the Emergency Operations Center setup. So it's incredibly restrictive. If FEMA does approve that $9,300, then that funds would become available for those CARES funds that were used for those expenses originally would be available for reallocation to something else. But there's not gonna be anything from FEMA directly that would be applicable, from what I have learned, for economic development. So we'll just have to wait and see if FEMA approves the $9,300 that we've submitted, and then we can move forward from there with if those CARES funds are then free.
Thanks, Phoebe. Go ahead, Leah.
Understood. Thanks, Phoebe. Maybe it wasn't the FEMA. Maybe there was another funding that I was thinking of, but that's understood. As far as the FEMA funding, thank you very much for the clarification.
Okay. Tom, whenever you're ready, go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening. At the work session last week, we discussed Councilmember Lewis's report on the feeding of marine life and the bears feeding on fish carcasses down at the small boat harbor. We had discussions about how we could address those concerns, and direction from the council was to provide some information and training to users of the facilities, look at the use of our marine facilities use agreement that outlines consequences for violating the terms of that agreement, which could include prohibition of the use of the marine facilities. We also would be working on the fish composting project that's going to be located down at the Salmon River Boat Harbor that would provide a method for fishermen to discard their carcasses. We would be able to compost those and enrich our compost materials. I know that our Marine Facilities Coordinator is working with the DRC manager in implementing that project, getting the materials to build the composting container, et cetera. So we're moving forward with that. We'll be working on the information and training aspects of it to implement next spring. We'll also be reaching out to the Marine Facilities Committee for some feedback and input on different approaches we could take to help the folks out there who are feeding the sea lions and leaving their fish carcasses on the beach, understand the dangers that it presents both to the marine life, the bears, and all of the folks who use those facilities. There was some interest in continuing the COVID testing at the airport. The council has given us direction to continue with the testing program until the end of September, or until funding has been used. So that is the plan. We'll continue to do the testing out at the airport. Initially, it was going to end at the termination of the jet landings, but there was interest in keeping it going because we had folks using that location as a central spot to come and get tested. So that program will continue to run through the end of September. We do have a need for some dispatching volunteers for the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department. It's been a busy summer, as it's been discussed previously. The existing load is great, and there's a lot of empty slots in the dispatching schedule. So please consider volunteering if you are interested. Training will be provided. If you're interested, contact Jeff Jarvis or City Hall and we'll get you hooked up. I have one other item that came in after posting of the report. Senator Mikowski's has a policy staff from their Team Ocean coming to Southeast Alaska, and they're planning a visit here in Gustavus this Saturday. They're going to be coming over on the ferry, so they should arrive right around 11:15, 11:30. They'd like to, they're going to be staying until about 6:30 that evening. They'd like to meet with some of the city officials around 2:30 in the afternoon. Talk about different things, kind of check in and see what's important to the community, and talk about important topics like PFAS. If you're interested in meeting with the Team Ocean, I have two slots open to stay under the requirement to notice a meeting. However, if there are more than two more folks that want to meet with them, we could do the noticing and get that posted in time. Let's see, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We could probably squeeze that in if we were to hustle and get that notice posted. So if you're interested, shoot me an email as soon as you can, and we'll try to get it set up so that we can meet at City Hall right around 2:30 on Saturday. I see Council Member Taylor with his hand up. Yeah, Mike.
Thank you, Tom. I'd suggest you go ahead and post that so that, City Council members who may decide later could be there. You could just post it as saying that several members of the council may be there and it's a public meeting. Wouldn't hurt, and the public wants to show up and they'd be welcome to. I have one other comment to make about the issue with charter operations on the dock and related to the feeding of sea lions and all of that. I had a call from a longtime local resident here a couple of days ago to say that he was threatened with bodily harm by a charter captain while he was down there observing and photographing some charter boat operations. The charter captain ordered him not to take pictures of the boat, as I understood. And when the resident said, "This is a city dock, public dock, I can take pictures wherever I want," the charter captain threatened to throw him in the ocean. And that's certainly not the kind of behavior that we expect from our charter captains down there. And so I'm wondering if there's a chance that the Marine Facilities Committee could perhaps do some work with all of the charter firms to make sure they understand that is a public float. It's owned by the city, and they're there on those floats as a courtesy of the city. They have no rights otherwise there, and they need to be courteous with all the public and follow all the rules without arguments.
Thanks, Mike. Councilmember Clark.
Thank you, Tom. I also received a couple of telephone calls about the sea lion problem and feeding and throwing of refuse into the water down there at the dock. I've watched the sea lions for several years now. I like seeing them, but they have become very aggressive and habituated to their feeding. I think that we need to educate our individual captains so that they know that it is not acceptable, and that in regards to the picture taking, there is no law against taking a picture of people and their behavior. And it can be used as evidence to restrict their use of the dock. I'm sorry it's coming down to this, but that's my two bits. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. That's all I have, Mayor, unless there's any more questions.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you to Councilmember Taylor and Clark for giving a little bit of other background knowledge for that. It's good to be aware of. Okay, looks like that's it. Thank you. Okay, so next on our agenda is a time open for public comment on non-agenda items. This is not intended for discussion, but council may ask clarifying questions. If you would like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, you can click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you don't have that option, you can unmute your phone and we'll add you to the list and remute until it's your turn to speak. Please state your full name before speaking and speak. And refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Of course, please be respectful and do not use profanity. If you don't get the chance to speak during this public comment time, there is another opportunity towards the end of the meeting for public comment on non-agenda items. Any members of the public wish to comment on non-agenda items? Okay, seeing no comment on non-agenda items from the public, moving on to our consent agenda. So I'll go ahead and list the items on the consent agenda and project them here. So the first is to approve the calculation of the endowment fund grant amount for the 2022 award cycle. And that's item 7. Item 8 is FY22-04 NCO for the AMLIP Gravel Pit Fund. We had public hearing for, or sorry, we'll have public hearing for this on September 20th. Item 9 is FY22-05 NCO departmental budgets, also up for public hearing on September 20th. And item 10 is FY22-06 NCO capital project funding for 2021, also up for public hearing September 20th, 2021. Do any members of the public wish to have any of these items removed from the consent agenda? Seeing none, do any council members wish to have any of these items removed from the consent agenda? Seeing none, I will go ahead and entertain a motion.
Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember Buckeyte. I move to adopt this consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
Councilman Clark, I second that.
Thank you. It has been moved by Councilmember Buckeyte and seconded by Councilmember Clark to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent. Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Hearing none, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. Okay. Next, ordinance for public hearing. And I'll go ahead and go to the first item. So this is item 11, FY22-01 for the NCO AMLIP for fiscal year 22 R&R, which was introduced July 19th, 2021. The time is 7:55 p.m. and this item is now open for public testimony. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this item? Seeing no comment from members of the public, public hearing testimony is now closed. The time is 7:56 p.m. I will entertain a motion to approve this item.
Madam Mayor, I move that we adopt FY21-01 NCO AMLIP FY22 R&R that was introduced July 19th, 20.
Councilman Clark, I second that.
Sorry, I think I was muted that whole time. It has been moved by Councilmember Vander Zanden and seconded by Councilmember Clark to approve FY22-01 NCO AMLIP for fiscal year 22 R&R, which was introduced July 19th, 2021. Would any members of the council like to make comment on this NCO? Seeing no counsel from the comment, Madam Clerk, I believe we are ready for the question.
Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Council Member Clark?
Yes.
Council Member Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Buckeye?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes with all in favor.
Next item open for public hearing is item 12, FY22-02 NCO AMLIP for road maintenance for fiscal year 22 transfer, which was introduced July 19th, 2021. The time is 7:59 p.m. and this agenda item is now open for public hearing testimony. Do any members of the public wish to speak? Seeing no comment from the public, time is closed. It is 8 o'clock. And now I will entertain a motion.
Madam Mayor, I move we adopt FY22-02 NCO AMLIP road maintenance FY22 transfer that was introduced July 19th of 2020.
I'll second it.
Taylor seconds.
It has been moved by Vice Mayor VanderZanden and seconded by myself to approve FY22-02 NCO AMLIP road maintenance for fiscal year 22 transfer, which was introduced July 19th, 2021. Would any members of the council like to make comment on this motion? Seeing no council discussion, Madam Clerk, we are ready for the vote.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Beckett?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Canamar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Vice Mayor VanderZanden?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Last item for public hearing is FY22-03 NCO capital project funding for 2021, also introduced July 19th. The time is 8:03 p.m. and this item is now open for public hearing testimony. Would any members of the public like to speak on this? Seeing no public testimony, it is now closed. The time is 8:04 p.m. and I will entertain a motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move to adopt FY22-03 NCO capital project funding 2021 that was introduced July 19th, 2021.
This is Councilmember Lewis, second.
Thank you. It has been moved by Councilmember Clark and seconded by Councilmember Lewis to approve FY22-03 NCO capital project funding for fiscal year 2021, which was introduced July 19th, 2021. Are there any members of the council that like to make comment on this NCO? Okay, seeing no council comment, Madam Clerk, we are ready for the vote, please.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Beckett?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
This motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. We do not have anything under new business. So moving on to new business. This item is a request from the City of Gustavus to the Gustavus Community Clinic to implement a vaccine incentive program with funding in the amount of $1,500 from the Hoonet Indian Association. Do I have a motion?
This is Council Member Lewis, and I move to request that Search Gustavus Clinic implement a COVID-19 vaccine incentive program with funding in the amount of $1,500 received from the Hoonet Indian Association. Upon confirmation from the clinic, the city will issue a payment for the full amount for the program.
Taylor seconds.
Thank you. It has been moved by Councilmember Lewis and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to request the Search Gustavus Clinic implement a COVID-19 vaccine incentive program with funding in the amount of $1,500 received from the Hoonet Indian Association. Upon confirmation from the clinic, the city will issue a payment for the full amount of the program. Would any members of the public like to make comment on this item? I'll go ahead and read the background information into the record for those of you who may not be able to see it projected on your screen. So the background for this incentive program is that the Alaska Chamber of Commerce received a grant from the State of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services for the intent of increasing the COVID-19 vaccination rates in the state of Alaska. The Alaska Chamber has asked the Hoonet Indian Association to be the lead agency for expending the $10,000, which was allocated for this effort. As Gustavus is a part of the Hoonet Angoon census area, we are authorized to utilize some of those funds. The Hoonet Indian Association has distributed $1,500 of these funds to the city of Gustavus. If the search clinic does not accept the proposal, the city will return the funds to the HIA. Would any members of the public like to make comment on this? Okay, seeing no public comment, I will open it up for council deliberation. Vice Mayor Vanderzanden, ahead.
Yes, I would like to make a motion to amend this motion by striking out the entire motion and substituting with, I move to request the check for $1,500 received from the Hoonet Indian Association for vaccine incentive program to be turned over to the Search Gustavus Clinic for COVID-19 related expenses to be used at their discretion.
I will second that. It has been moved by Vice Mayor Vander Zanden and seconded by myself, Mayor Cannamore, to strike the existing motion to be replaced with, I move to request the check for $1,500 received from the Huna Indian Association for a vaccine incentive program be turned over to the Serge Gustavus Clinic for COVID-19 related expenses to be used at their discretion. Vice Mayor Vander Zanden, you may make comment on your amendment if you would like to at this time.
Yes, the reason for this motion is that the city administrator, talking with Huna Indian Association, learned that there is more flexibility allowed with this than just what was originally stated. And since it has been something of a divisive issue with the council, we thought it best to leave it to the clinic to decide just what direction to take that. They may have other ideas and how to use that in COVID-related matters. And so we thought.
Thank you. Council comments and discussion on the motion as amended. Councilmember Clark.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I think this amendment is a much better option. I don't think the city should be involved in this kind of a distribution. I think the clinic is the way to go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Taylor.
Yes, just a question. Do we have any feedback from the clinic about how they feel about how this would work and whether they think they could put it to use in a way that would be supportive of public health?
Tom, would you like to speak to that?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. When we first started discussing the vaccine incentive program, I spoke with Lisa and we came up with the idea or how we were going to propose using those funds. She left town prior to the work session and I have not had a chance to talk to her about an alternate use of those funds by the clinic. So no, we haven't spoke to the clinic about this version of the funding use.
Thank you, Tom. Council Member Buckeye, go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor. I had a question. For Councilmember Vander Zanden, if the clinic does decide to use that $1,500 for an incentive program, would you actively oppose that? Or is it once the money's given to them for COVID-related purposes, it's at their discretion to use it?
Yes, I can answer that. Either way this goes, the clinic is going to decide what to do with it. I believe Lisa might have been in favor of that incentive program. That doesn't mean that everybody that works there is in favor of it. And one idea that was proposed was that they put that towards an X-ray machine that they would they're really pushing for in the new building. And the rationalization given about how that might relate to COVID is that it would cause a lot of people not to have to go to town, make trips into Juneau for X-rays and then return to Gustavus, possibly bringing the virus back here. That's maybe a little thin, but a lot of what was done last year was a little thin too. But anyway, it's going to be Lisa's call, I believe, when she gets.
Great, thanks for the answer.
Are there any other comments or discussion items for Vice Mayor Van der Zanden's amendment to the motion? Okay, so the amendment that we are voting on, just as a reminder, is to have the wording as, I move to request the check for $1,500 received from the Huna Indian Association for vaccine incentive program be turned over to the Search Gustavus Clinic for COVID-19 related expenses to be used at their discretion. And Madam Clerk, I believe we are ready for the vote. Thank you.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Beckite?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes with all in favor.
Sorry, I was muted again. Next on the agenda is City Council reports. So just to clarify, this is not for council comments or questions, but for council members who are wishing to make a report on special projects like the marine facilities, roads, etc., may do so now. Councilmember Taylor, go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to update the council on the Grandpa's Farm Road culvert removal and bridge installation project. We discussed this in a work session, I think in July. We had an opportunity at the time to file for a grant from the Lynn Canal Icy Strait Resource Advisory Council for a Forest Service grant that they will be managing. And with the encouragement of the council, I went ahead and worked with Andy Stevens at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to develop a grant application. And we got it turned in on schedule on the 6th of August. We got an update on the from the engineer on the estimated on the cost estimate, and adjusted our grant amount accordingly. And so I'm hopeful that we will be successful on this and get at least partial funding for that bridge installation. We have reviewed it with the district ranger in Huna, and she has been very encouraging. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and maybe find out late this fall whether we're qualifying for some funding from them. We'll continue to look for other grant sources. I don't expect that even if we get this grant that it will be in the full amount, and we're actually trying to get enough money so we even get any match covered one way or the other. So we'll be working on that through the fall, and with the hope that we'll be successful and can maybe take that culvert out next spring or summer and replace it with a nice timber bridge.
Excellent. Thanks for the update, Mike. Are there any other council members wishing to give a report? Councilmember Lewis, go ahead.
Thanks. I don't have a report. I just have a question about our last vote. We voted on amending
Tanya, motion. We'll have to wait until we're on to the next item. This is just for reports, but coming up next is council questions and comments.
Okay, you know where I'm going though. Okay,
thanks. Okay, we'll swing back around, thanks. Okay, so any other reports from the council? Okay, seeing none, moving on to council questions and comments. Okay, so go ahead, Tanya. Thanks for waiting.
Sure, yeah, no, I don't actually have a question. It's just a point of order question. We had a motion and then there was amendment and we voted on the amendment, but did we actually vote on the motion or did we vote for both at the same time?
So when there's an amendment for the motion, the original motion goes away and is replaced by the amended motion.
Okay, I thought we voted though whether we all agreed on the amendment. I can talk to you about it later. I'm a bit confused. I just want to make sure it was all done correctly. Thanks.
Sure, Karen is unmuted, so maybe I was out of order.
That's okay. It's a good question. This amendment was a little bit unique because it replaced the main motion in its entirety, basically. So we didn't have to go back to the main motion to vote on that.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. And thanks, Tanya. That was a good clarifying question. I'll go ahead with a few things since we're here. Just as a note for everybody listening, I have accepted resignation from Councilmember Clark, Councilmember McLaughlin, and Councilmember Buckeyte. Councilmember McLaughlin chose to give her recognition or her resignation on the 4th of August. Councilmember Clark will finish his term on September 30th. And Councilmember Buckeyte will finish his term upon the swearing in of the new council members in the October general meeting. So sad to see them go, very happy to have served alongside all of them for various lengths and time, and appreciate your service for our community. And that's all from me. So any other council questions or comments on non-agenda items? Okay, seeing nothing from the council, opening it back up to public comment on non-agenda items. And this is the same process as earlier in the agenda. Okay, seeing nothing from members of the public, is there any other business from the council or from staff? Okay, seeing no further comment or business from council or staff. The meeting is adjourned. The time is 8:26 p.m. Thank you for joining us. Have a good night.
Good night.